2 Peter chapter 2. The majority of people, including unbelievers, don't mind talking about and love of God and compassion of God and kindness of God. However, they don't want to hear or talk about, even think about the wrath of God. See, we have to ask ourselves, and they have to ask themselves, is this the same God that full of love, full of compassion, yet is it this same God who has a wrath? Yes, this is the same God. But you cannot ignore one God, one side of character attribute, and the other side we will accept only. Because that doesn't work, it doesn't work that way. God is God who has God of justice and God of love. God does not look at the other way when it comes to depravity of mankind. God doesn't look at the other way when it comes to man's depravity. He takes the sin into the account in fine point accuracy. Each sin, bless you, each sin we commit, He knows. And actually, this scared the snot out of me. Each time I commit sin, God knows and God remembers. Until I come to Him, I ask His forgiveness. What about the sins that I forgot? That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is good. Our sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. However, one day He will open up His ledger, and human sin has to be reconciled. It's a day of a reconciliation, and the bankrupt lives will stand before Him. Hebrews 9:27, please. Hebrews 9:27. This is a great verse to memorize against those who believe in reincarnation. Hebrews 9:27. Do you know they have a theme song? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 9:27. And it is as it is appointed for man to die 40,000 times, right? Once. But after this, the judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 11, now we are going to see the wrath of God and compassion of God in a composite picture. That's what the Apostle Peter is trying to show us. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, You're a great God, wonderful God, at the same time You're holy and righteous God, who despises sins, who despises our rebellion. So we stand in Your presence, not by our own righteousness or holiness, because we have none. However, we have the blood of Jesus Christ that washed away all our iniquities, all our shortcomings, all of our sins. As we sang, let us search our heart and that we may get to know You more intimately and hear from You and ultimately to love You because You loved us first. Let us not take one side of Your attribute and character which we like to seek and try to discard the other side, but let us get to know all about You. Know about our Father in heaven, our Savior Jesus, and the very God, Holy Spirit, who lives in our heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned and cast them down to hell, which underline hell, please, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for the judgment, as a part of our own curiosity and for the sake of studies of the Bible, I wish that we knew more about the angels' appearance or duty or the ranks or the how they were created, when were they created. Actually, there is nothing mentioned about how they were created in the Bible, period. Was they created in the first day, second day, third day? We don't know. It just, Bible does not mention about the angel a whole lot. A brief description of what kinds of parents they have. However, I believe there is a reason why Bible does not describe about the angels a whole lot. Because it takes away our attention from God to angel. As is, we have a lot of angel worshiping people. You want to look for them? Just hang around in Tucson area, go up to the Santa Fe or the Sedona, thank you, the Lala town. Go up there. Then you'll find a bunch of people wandering around about the angel. They're thinking about angels, God. Angels not God. They are messengers of God. Many Bible scholars believe that Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and also Revelation 12 talks about the fall of Lucifer, known as one of the archangels, who ministered to God and worshiped God in heaven. But pride got into him, and he fell from this heaven. He didn't fall from the heaven by himself, but he conned one-third of the angels, and who became the demons. Lucifer was in charge of the heaven, as I said, but pride got into him. It is no wonder why God despised pride, haughty eyes, the seven things God despised. Where are these fallen angels? And I believe they are around this world. They roam freely as they can, because the Satan is the god of this world. He has a right to own this world as the earth, as I mentioned before. And his demonic forces, his demons, are a beck and call. They have ranks, they have powers, they have a principality, they have princes. They are there to do his work. Don't ever think that Satan has the same kind of power and authority and omnipresent as God. There's only one who knows all things and can do all things and be everywhere at the same time. That is God, not Satan. They are not arch rival. If God chooses to say, Satan, you ain't anymore, then Satan is gone. But Satan is being used by God to bring the glory to himself. Apostle Peter is telling us that God cast demons, some demons, into the hell, I should underline hell, and who are down to hell, and they are locked in the chains of darkness. Now, I'm going to be really, really, really careful. You can go back and listen to this CD, so I'm going to say this one more time. I'm going to be really careful because what I'm about to say is nothing more than speculation. I'm thinking that I am right, but I'm not going to make a hard doctrine out of it because there's nothing else I can, I can back it up with the Bible verses other than just some similarities. And it is not a very important aspect. The hell that mentioned here in Greek word is Tartarus, and which it means ancient underworld in ancient Greek, not Koinonia Greek, but ancient Greek word. In other words, they were locked up in the joint for the fallen angels somewhere. In Luke chapter 8, verse 31, there was a bunch of demons possessed this man who were running around, roaming around the gravesite and cutting himself with a rock and a sharp object, scared everybody. When Jesus confronted him and the demons within the man beg Jesus that please do not cast them into where? It says abyss. In New Testament, New International Version, NIV, it says abyss. Other versions, such as King James or some of the New King James, might say bottomless pit. Again, when you go to the Revelation chapter 20, one single angel was sent to throw the Satan himself to the bottomless pit, or again, different versions says abyss. For 1,000 years, we also know that as a millennium time. Let's go there just for fun a bit. Just make sure I'm not teaching you guys some lie or the fable. Chapter 20, verse 1. Okay. Everybody got there? Chapter 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He lay hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the what? Bottomless pit. And some of your version says what? Abyss. So abyss and the bottomless pit are the same meaning, correct? And they shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive a nation no more until the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. In other places, the Revelation, I believe it's 16 or 17, somewhere around there, bunch of demons were released from the bottomless pit, also known as abyss. Who are these demons? In my opinion, these are the ones coming from Tartarus. Why these demons are there? Again, speculation. I'm not making a big deal out of it. In Genesis chapter 6, angels lust after the woman, the daughters of men. Now, we have to be careful. Angelic beings are spiritual beings. They do not have a body. Correct? They cannot manifest themselves as a human body. They can pretend to be look like a human body for a while, but they don't have actual flesh and bone like we do. What I'm thinking is, I believe that they possess the human, a man, so they can have sex with a woman, and the descendant is anarchies, giant, we know. Of course, one of the giants are the Goliath. Again, I believe that I know that some of the Bible students and Bible scholars also believe that way. These people these angels were not supposed to do that. And they walked away from what they are supposed to do, what they are not supposed to do, in their own free will, went against God's will. And you are wondering, okay, where did you get all of that? I'm glad you're thinking that way. Let's go to Jude. Jude is right before where? Revelation. Jude chapter 2, right? It's not chapter 2? Okay, verse 6. If you went to Jude chapter 2, you went into the wrong book. The angels who did not keep their proper domain and left their own abode, I like to say adobe, whichever, whatever, then they are joined. He has reserved the everlasting chain under the darkness of judgment and the great day. Make sense? That's the word. I believe it is Tartarus is located. That's the place, bottomless pit. That's the place I think abyss is located. Again, I'm not making big deal out of it. I'm just making a speculation. And I just share my speculation with you guys. It's not necessary to debate this hidden mystery. If we get into the hidden mystery, we lose the main point. What is the main point of this? God judges rebellion and will not spare those who reject His will. And if God judges the angels, who in many respects are higher than men, then certainly He will judge rebellious men. Got that? Don't ever think that one of us will skim by because God doesn't see it. There's no such a thing as God doesn't see. Let's move on down to the verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of the 8 people, preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. We just went through the Hurricane Ike, and it flooded many areas. I saw, while we, Karen and I, went in Albuquerque, we watched the TV and then the Fox News, and people went back to the Galveston, Texas, and the layer of mud is just everywhere. And I was wondering, how they ever going to clean that mess? I don't think that is can be compared with the flood that these people had. Of course, this is talking about nothing more than Noah's great flood. In Genesis chapter 6, God gave 120 years to the people on the earth to repent from their wickedness and violence. The world was filled with violence, the world was filled with wickedness, and all during that time, Noah was ministering as herald of God's righteousness. And you may say, where did you get the word herald? We just read there, preacher of righteousness. Herald means preacher, and also means messenger. Now, during the time, the medieval time, actually it's coming from the ancient medieval Greek, the English. Majority of people didn't know how to read or write. So king sent out herald. He would stand in the street corner with holding the king's edict. He would read that king's edict word per word without adding editorial comment. He just read from the beginning of the king's edict to the bottom of the king's edict and just say, thus says king. And then it's the end of it. As a preacher of the God's righteousness, I'm supposed to speak nothing but what God says. And anyone who does not speak what God says should not be called preacher, should not be called pastor, should not be called anything other than carnotist. I say that without an apology. As we study about the emergent church, they call themselves the pastors. They are not pastors. They are the wolves with the sheep clothing. So he was ministered as a herald of God's righteousness. While Noah and his family was building on an ark, can you imagine this ark is, is the biggest football field. How would you like to have that thing next to your driveway? And you are in the middle of the desert, you have not seen the rain that Noah has been talking about. For 120 years, every day he pounded the nail, every day he sawing some lumber. Probably everybody made some sort of remark about it. I'm sure if they had a TV, they had a Nightline crews coming out, and the David Letterman or the, what's that guy's name? Jay Lennon. I'm sure they would talk they would make about some sort of joke about him. The rest of people on earth were living fully as a carnal people. They were not repenting. They were ignoring Noah's word. When we compared our world with Noah's world, we can see frightening parallel line. During that time, the population was multiplying. How many billions of people around this earth? And during that time, that world was filled with wickedness and violence. Do I need to remind you what kinds of world we are living in? And the lawlessness was abound during that time as well as now. True believers are considered as a minority. And nobody pay attention to the truth. But the flood came and entire population of the world was destroyed. Someday, if God willing, if it's in our lifetime, rapture comes, those people will be left behind, will be gone. Before we came over here, I was talking to my wife and I said, if the rapture happened tonight or tomorrow morning, Sarah Palin's family will be gone and wonder what the liberals are going to say. I'm sure they will come up with another stabbing word. You know, if somebody hack into Obama's wife, Michelle Obama's email, wonder what kinds of havoc that the media would come up with. Yeah. Indeed, God will judge this world as He judged the ancient world. For 120 years, God did not protect Noah and his family by isolating them from the world, but by enabling them to remain pure in the midst of corruption with a spiritual insulation. Folks, we are not supposed to be isolated from this world, but we are supposed to be insulated from this world. Get that? So don't think about making our own community, Rancho Sarita Christian community, or the Rancho Rizal Christian community, or Green Valley Christian community. No. Be in the middle of the dark world as light and salt. The flood water that brought the condemnation to the world lifted Noah and his household above judgment. While other people sunk, this family floated high. They were secure in the ark of safety. The ark was a type of our salvation in Jesus Christ. The world as it was buried in the baptism of flood, and Noah was lifted up in picture of resurrection and salvation. Notice, if you can remember, in Genesis chapter 6, God Himself brought all this animal. And also, He is the one who brought him in the side through the side door, and He sealed them. So you may say, what's that all about? Remember on the cross, the Roman soldier stabbed him where? Side. To be sure he's dead. He was dead for our iniquity. And who sealed our salvation? Jesus. And as a guarantee, He put Holy Spirit in our heart. For 40 days, 40 nights, there will rain. Of course, whenever the Bible says 40, what is it? During the time of test and the trials. Folks, this is the world where we should live in, not as isolated people, insulated people from this carnal world. Let's move down to the verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. The heart of people in Sodom and Gomorrah can be summed up in one sentence. In Genesis chapter 13, please. Genesis 13, verse 13. You there yet? 13:13. It says in volume, the man of Sodom was exceedingly wicked and sinful against who? God, the Lord. Not to one another, more than to one another, more than to against the neighbor, against God. According to Genesis chapter 19, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was a perversion of its worst, rampant homosexuality, just like in North America and Europe. By the way, homosexuality is rampant here in the United States and Canada and Europe, pretty much only. What happened to the rest of the world? Guess what? They still get persecuted, I guess, if you want to call it, or they get corrected by other people. Again, up to the very minute that Lot left the city, the people were confident that everything was saved. But then the fire and brimstone fell. God did not spare them, nor will He spare the sinners today who willfully reject His truth and deny His Son. Willfully reject. Some of you are time to time when we sin against God because we do something stupid in the lapse of the faith and we feel condemned, right? Rightly so. But once we ask God to forgive us, that's over. It's one thing to struggle with a sin. It's another thing to willfully sin against God continuously. Homosexuality is gaining ground. Whether you like to admit it or not, homosexuality is gaining ground like no other, with the exception of Muslims around the world. It's almost against the law to talk against homosexuality nowadays in America. And there is not one single nationwide company that does not provide pluralism class. What's the pluralism class? It's nothing more than stepping stone to evangelize homosexuality to the people. They don't want homosexual people do not want equal opportunity. They want to be treated as a special class people, above and beyond man and woman marriage. They want to be classified as a special people and cannot be touched. That's what they want. Many of you remember Ray Bolt. How many of you guys remember Ray Bolt? Ray Bolt, who sang the song, Thank You, Watch the Lamb. The lyrics is absolutely stunning. He sold 4.5 million copies of his album. I believe a couple of weeks ago, he so-called came out of the closet. And he divorced his wife some time ago, and now this is what he said. I'm going to read word per word. He, in his interview with Blade magazine, he said, this is what it really comes down to, Ray Bolt says. If this is the way God made me, then this is the way I'm going to live. It's not like God made me this way and He will send me to hell if I am who He created me to be. I really feel closer to God because I no longer hate myself. What a deception he is living in now. Folks, don't ever think that it's just God made homosexual people that way. When God created, it was Adam and Eve. And you're thinking, oh yeah, you're going to come up with that same old joke. Yes, not Adam and Steve. Or Amanda and Eve. It's Adam and Eve. And you may say, why did these people come up with this kind of thing? Let me say this. It's a perversion. It's a lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of their heart. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm going to say this in recording. If Obama goes in, I won't be able to say this thing whole lot because I'll end up in jail. Anyone who preaches Romans chapter 1 verse 27 will end up in jail because because Biden and Obama are two most ultra-liberal left-wing people. He already promised to the homosexual magazine, and he already said that he will tell military leaders, rethink about no tell and don't ask, don't tell. God's going to judge everyone who defiled and deny his word. So am I going to hide some of the sermon notes in the website and sermon files in the website? Not on my watch. Verse 7. Oh, by the way, just for your information, I don't beat around bush. Jerry? And deliver the righteous, verse 7, deliver the righteous Lot who was oppressed by the filthy conduct and wicked. For that righteous man dwell among them, tormented righteous soul from the day to day. And by seeing and hearing their lawless deed, verse 9, then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of their temptation and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of judgment. When Abraham, again in his lapse of faith, he went down to Egypt. Of course, Egypt represents the world. He didn't go there by the permission of God, but he chose to, he think they're not going to have enough food, so he chose to get into the world to get help from the world. However, he might be able to come out without any problem. His nephew, Lot, is a different case. He came out, Lot saw the world, what the world could offer. When they came out, they were both rich people. And because the flock could not hold, the land could not hold their flock together, so they separated each other's different way. Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah direction because it's filled with the green meadow. And Abraham chose the other side. Abraham could bring Lot out of the Egypt, but obviously he could not take the Egypt out of the Lot. A lot of people get saved, but somehow they have this longing heart to the world. So they cling to the worldly things and they never stay with God and they go back to the world. Even though the Apostle Peter called Lot righteous, you know, to be honest with you, and the Bible speaks nothing but the truth. But I have a hard time taking him as righteous. Why? In my personal opinion. But however, because since the Bible says righteous, I have to accept him as righteous. And I have to think, why would he be righteous? If we compared, let's say I compared my righteousness against Jerry's righteousness, probably his righteousness is far better. Then, but then again, his righteousness compared with Billy Graham's righteousness, there might be a slight difference. I'm trying to be nice to you, right? So, think about it. Where's the standard? Where's the line we draw? Comparing who's righteous, one person's righteous against who's other person's righteous. Who is the standard? None of us. None of us. Only God's righteousness. Notice this. Remember the sin in, when they were leaving. There was, he had four daughters. Two of them married, two of them were the virgin, right? According to him. Two of them, the married daughter and their husbands kind of laughed at the Lot's urgent message, we got to get out of here. They thought he was joking. They didn't listen. When he and his wife and two daughters were leaving the Sodom and by the leading of the two angels, what did his wife do? She turned around to look at the Sodom. Because her mind was in Sodom, not wherever they're supposed to find a refuge. So she turned into a pillar of salt. And even that, even the Lot was lingering in his heart. He was a kind of fidgeting. Literally, the angels had to grab his hand and run outside. So this is what I'm saying. Apostle Peter was not pointing to the Lot as an example of a separate living, a righteous living, but rather as an example of one whom God rescued from the population, pollution and condemnation. In a sense, Lot was even rescued against his will because the angel had to grasp him by the hand and pull him out of the city. Lot had entered Sodom, and Sodom had entered Lot. And he found it difficult to live. You follow me? There are some people who will go to heaven when the rapture happens. They may not live Christian life like you guys live. But they will still go. It's not by his righteousness. It's not by her righteousness. It's not by your righteousness. By the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we all get to go. You heard this joke. When you get to heaven, you will be surprised that the so-and-so is there. And you will be surprised that they are surprised that you are there. And we are all surprised that we are there. It's not that difficult for the Sodom to get into our heart. Let me say this thing. When I came to the United States, it was 1981. Do you know there was a sodomy law in the United States? Sodomite law. Against sodomite. Anyone who does that kind of thing, they end up in jail. Now, what's wrong with that thing? Nothing wrong with it. We all accept it as a part of it. As, I don't know, if I was flipping the channel, I contaminated my wife. She's very good at with the remote control nowadays, too. She does it very well with the flipping. Anyway, we were changing the channel, and there was about this guy, former NSYNC, the young men's, and this guy, again, came out of the closet. They make such a big deal. It's almost like a special privilege to be a homosexual. That's what entertainment world, the liberal world, wants you to think. It's a special thing. It's not. It's a perversion. It's a sin. And my sin is no different than their sin, but they are trying to make that thing special when it's not. Same God who delivered the godly also reserved ungodly for judgment. Late Ruth Bell Graham said, if God spares San Francisco from judgment, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. So why God is lingering the judgment? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I told Karen, my wife, many times, it's a good thing that God is not like me. There won't be one person alive. the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count the slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Another verse in the Old Testament says, God does not find the pleasure in the death of the wicked. Let's move to verse 10. And especially those who walk according to flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise authority. They are the presumptuous and self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitary. Verse 11. Whereas the angels who are greater in power and might do not bring reviling accusation against them before the Lord. Man's fallen nature encourages pride. Our sinful character is based on pride. When the ego is at stake, this apostate will stop at nothing in order to promote and protect themselves. I'm sure you've noticed that the 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 through 11, there's a striking resemblance in the Jude chapter verse 6 through 11 as well. Why is that? We are not going to read that portion. Why is that there is such a similarity, even the same kinds of word? As I said before, at the beginning of the second Peter introduction, the reason is that because Jude was influenced by the Apostle Peter, as well as John Mark was influenced. That's why you see a lot of things in the book of Mark about the Peter and the things he said. There's a similarity between that and the second and first Peter and the book of Jude. There's a lot of similarity because they are all influenced by the Apostle Peter. Okay, let's make applications. Number one, God's compassion will result in the rescue of all believers. God's compassion will result in the rescue of all believers. God's heart goes out to us as he stooped in the compassion to surround us and insulate us from this corrupt world. God's judgment will result in the punishment of unbelievers. And you may say, wow, this is so elementary. Well, elementary is good, right? Those who died without Christ as their Savior will face not the loving embrace of the Heavenly Father, but judicial impartiality of a righteous judge. For Christian, eternal condemnation is behind us, but for non-Christian, it's looming before them. I'm sure you heard this before. To us, to the believer of Jesus Christ, this is the only hell we taste. But for the non-believers of Jesus Christ, this is the only heaven they will taste. Let's stand up and pray.